your seat. We'd be so grateful for that. Welcome to Calvary Baptist Church and our youth service. Can you hear me out there? Thank you so much for coming. Let me ask you guys a question. Do you guys love these kids? Do you love them? They're gonna ask you to prove that to them, because they're gonna teach you a song real quick, and the second time through, they want you to sing it with them. And it's the Itty Bitty Seed Song. And this is what we need from you guys. We need full-on participation. If you're a female, it should be a little easier for you, because when we get to the Itty Bitty part, you go, Itty Bitty. But if you're a guy, we need you to get out that girly spot, okay? And you got to jump in. Hand motions, you know what I mean? Little squinchy hands. Brother Clayton, can I count on you? Right, Itty Bitty? Here we go. You ready? Sing it loud and proud. The Word of God is like an itty bitty seed scattered all around. The Word of God is like an scattered all around. You got some in the road, some in the weeds, but everywhere you look, you got it. The Word of God is like an scattered all around. All right, now your turn to join them. We want you to be as loud as they were. You could keep, oh, CJ's saying stand up. Come on. I need some elderly itty bitty. I want to hear it, Dion, in the back. You ready? Here we go. The Word of God is like an scattered all around. The Word of God is like an scattered all around. You got some in the road, some in the weeds, but everywhere you look, you got the Word of God is like an scattered all around. Now, we know the Word of God is powerful, so the last one we'll do is a big whopping seed, and you guys just jump in. Are you ready? The Word of God is like a
big whopping seed
scattered all around. The Word of God is like a
big whopping seed
scattered all around. You got some in the road, some in the weeds, but everywhere you look, you got a
big whopping seed.
The Word of God is like a
big whopping seed
scattered all around. All right, you guys have a seat. Great job. Thank you. You can be seated. All right. Let me pray today. Let's get it started, and Charlie's going to open us up with a song. Come on up, Charlie. Our great God, we love you today. We thank you for this privilege. We thank you for Jesus, who you sent to die for us, that we could be family forever in heaven. We thank you for the hope that you bring into our lives. You're still the very best thing that's ever happened to me, and I pray in Jesus' name that you would be glorified today. I pray that these kids would remember this service as being a help to the people. I pray that the songs that they're going to sing will echo in the hearts of the congregants today and for weeks to come. We ask you to do this mighty thing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been trying hard to bear the weight of all, and if there's a God up there, you're sure he forgot your name. Your steps are just bring it all to the cross. Who told you grace can't reach messed up ones like you? Has the devil made you believe the lies he tells are true, when you're sure that you're the one who's wandered too far off? It's not too late, just come home to the cross. Come and see a Savior's love that would die to make you new. Nothing you mercy is done for you. And if you ever wonder if you're worth so great a cause, look up and see the cross. Everybody's got a list, at least a mile long, of every scar and every sin, from everywhere the leaf gone wrong.
This morning's youth service. It will continue on tonight as Brother CJ will be preaching this evening and more songs by our young people. We pray that you will make options to join us. Please remember these people on our prayer list. We have a lot of sick and hurting. Dolores and Leonard Palmer, he is going to be undergoing a 5-week medicine trial, which will involve a lot of travel. Please remember Connie Teague and Jim Daly as they are recovering from surgery. Diane Ely is undergoing infection treatments. Miss Claudia Darby is very sick and needs our prayers. Brother Justin's grandmother, Miss Barbara Furr, she will be having back surgery soon. And Miss Glenda Henderson is having eye surgery this week. Nancy McClendon's niece, Allison, is in the hospital with COVID. And our own Jennifer Lane from Children's Home is also recovering from major surgery in Jacksonville. Please remember her. Brother Justin, could you pray for us?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for today, that we can gather ourselves together around just that Christian oneness, that Spirit of God that's in us. Father, I just thank you for the music that we've heard already. God, I pray for the remainder part of the service, for the rest of the music. then when Brother Brian stands, God, I pray that you'll do what you've always done. Touch him, anoint him afresh and anew. Oh, God, we've come to hear from heaven. And I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts. Bless this offering. Let it be used for the ongoing ministry here at the church. God, we do lift up everybody on the prayer list with all the problems that's going on, the sick people, those that are recovering. God, please touch and heal each and every person. We love you today. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Thank you.
Shiloh comes to sing, I just want to say we were very blessed that to have these young people with us today. And all of these young people are part of the orchestra at North Cobb Christian, where some of our kids are very blessed to get to go to school. And I have to say that in my many, 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 many years, I don't even know how many, probably 30 years of trying to, 25, 30 years trying to work with planning youth services, I've always wanted to have an instrumental, because I'll have a kid in band, a kid in orchestra, somebody trying to play the piano, and it's never come true until today. And I have to say that Tansy, this didn't happen because Darlene Hancock had anything to do with this, I promise you. Tansy, I had mentioned to Tansy, maybe, you know, Tansy, you could play something, like I always do when anybody says something, I always offer. And she came home one day and she says, I'm afraid to play myself, but what if I get some people from my school to come with me? I said, oh, sure, go ahead. I'm being totally honest and transparent before you. I kind of really didn't think it was going to happen. So when I tell you today this happened because a young lady took it upon herself, and because these people were willing, you honored us with your presence today, guys.
Amen.
Some of these guys, you may look familiar because they were here the Wednesday night when we had the Pine Valley Youth Choir. Some of them were here that night. That's where they go to church. And we got a mom that has triplet boys, and she brought them. She gathered the crew and got them over here for us today. So thank you. You honored us today, and you did a great service for the Lord.
If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to John chapter number 8? And while you're finding that place today, is there anyone in this place who thinks Jesus is worthy of all that praise? Is there somebody in this place that'd like to stand up and give God a praise? Has God helped anybody? Has God saved anybody? Has God guided anybody? Would anybody like to stand and say he's worthy of it all? You heard that thing she repeated over and over again. She said, let incense arise night and day, night and day. You know, the thing about Jesus and the Lord is he's the only thing in this, the only entity, if I could say it that way, in the whole universe that over time does not lose its grandeur. You know, I can tell you this, the truth. I love Krispy Kreme donuts, but there was a time that Calvary Children's Home got Krispy Kreme donuts donated every day. And on week number two, they lost a little something. You know what I mean? But the more you learn about the Lord Jesus Christ, the more in awe you will be of him. And he won't lose a second of his grandeur. Anybody want to stand before the Lord? I don't ever do that unless I feel like the Lord told me. Anybody want to say praise the Lord today before we jump in? Good.
Every single ounce
Amen. You're right. One songwriter said, "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." Anybody else? Well, if you take a peek anywhere in the life of Jesus, and I want to challenge you today, I guess there's about 80 people here, prove me wrong after church. If you take a peek anywhere in the life of Jesus Christ, you're going to see extraordinary. There's just no scene in his life at all that isn't completely out of this world. I think of the day that he walked up to Lazarus' grave. Do you remember that Lazarus was 4 days dead? Do you remember that? He was 4 days dead and he was stinky dead. Do you know why the Bible tells you that? God wanted to convey, he was in a situation where from earthly means there was no hope. But before he walked up to that grave, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that liveth and believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." And then he said, "Lazarus, come forth." I mean, can you imagine the people standing there? Hearts pounding, mind racing. There's no way that guy's getting out of that grave. But who came out of that grave? Yes way, a dead man came out walking. Many people have said it's a good thing he said, "Lazarus, come forth," because if he just said, "Come forth," I mean, every grave in Israel might have got happy, 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 right? I mean, he could have spooked a tremendous amount of the graveskeeper. This is the giver of life after death. It's an extraordinary thing. Let me say something to you. Don't let your familiarity with that story cause you to not cease about how extraordinary that is. Jesus said to you he could give you life after this death. And the last thing he did to prove it was, watch this, "Lazarus, come forth. I am the giver of life after death." And when you get ready to pass from this life to the next, you remember that he is that giver of life after death. I think of the miraculous things that he did on the earth. The Bible says that he walked up to the lame and literally healed those who were paralyzed. We have somebody in our world that a few months ago, maybe 6 months ago, was at a stop sign and a teenager was texting and driving and ran into the back of her car and pushed her into an intersection, and she was paralyzed from the neck down. Her life changed in an absolute instant. Went from being a healthy, vibrant, beautiful woman to somebody totally dependent. And the doctors went to her and said, "Ma'am, you got to make a decision today. It's okay either way. If you don't want to live, we understand. And we can make that, we cannot give life-saving measures." And she said, were it not for her children, she absolutely would have chose that. Let me tell you something. We prayed with tears for her, and about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, she got the use of her left arm. And just for the use of her left arm, we wept. We wept just because she could scratch her nose, just because she could touch her phone, just that little bit. Think about the people who were paralyzed, and they would have given everything they own. Everything they own. And Jesus walks up and says, "Rise." I mean, can you imagine it? You tell me that's not extraordinary. What about the blind people who were healed? Don't you know if you had one of those blind people in your family who've been healed by Jesus, you would take them to the highest mountain and you'd show them the best sunset you'd ever seen. And what do you think their eyes felt like when they saw their first sunset? Do you think those eyes that could now see wept? Do you think that they trembled before that thing? Do you think they thought, there's no way this is even real, because they've been crowded in darkness? It was extraordinary. Do you think that they saw their mother who'd cared for them and they got to see how beautiful they were? Do you remember the day, men, that your bride walked down the aisle? Do you remember that? What about the first time they saw a girl and thought, hey, 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 here's an opportunity, right? I remember, honest to God, when Melita was walking down the aisle, I had two thoughts. I'm an immature guy. I thought to myself, man, she's fun to look at. I'll just be honest with you, right? I thought that, but then I also thought, she fell for it and I get to keep her, right? And they could see these things, right? They could see them with their own experience. Extraordinary, extraordinary in his selflessness. Think about what I'm about to say to you. When Jesus Christ was dying on the cross, being tortured by men, he hollered, "I thirst." There's no way to get around what I'm about to say. Here is the Son of God being tortured by men, and he is asking for help from his tormentors. "I'm thirsty." Why would he do that? You know why he did that? Because he was thirsty. You know what's crazy, though? He made all the water. The Bible says there's nothing that was not made by him. He made all of the water. He made all of the rain. He made all of the oceans. The cathedrals used to sing a song that was written by Mark Lowry's mama that said, "He said, I thirst, but he made the rivers. He said, I thirst, but he made the sea.
I thirst, said the King of the ages, but in his great thirst, he brought water to me. I remember when Mark Lowry videoed his aging mother. She had written that song, and she lay in a hospital bed, or maybe she was actually in a recliner, and it was clear that she had been weakened and she had lost a lot of her faculties. But he started singing that song with her, and she sang that song. He said, I thirst, but he made the rivers. And when he got done singing it, when they got to that part, but in his great thirst, he brought water to me, she took her hand over her heart, and she patted her heart. And this is what he said to her, Mama, who wrote that song? You got to look the video up. Mama, who wrote that song? And she said, I don't know. And he said, yes, you do. And she said, no, I don't. I don't know. And he said, Mama, you wrote that song. And she went, oh, that's good, right? But she didn't remember that she wrote it, but she remembered a God who brought water to her and had quenched a thirst in her life, right? This extraordinary God. On the cross, he said, I thirst, not because he thought there was Gatorade in the bucket. Remember that. He knew good and well what was coming. More torture was coming when he said it. He said, I thirst because the Bible had said the Messiah will die thirsty. His tongue would cleave to his cheek. And he was saying, it's me, it's me, it's me. So they would all know, no doubt on earth, Jesus Christ is the prophesied Messiah. You look in other places, Jesus became a baby. Now let me ask you guys a question. Honestly, wouldn't most of you like to rewind your life 10 years? I think most of us would say, yeah, I'd like to do that again. I'll be honest with you. I'd like to roll back to 18 experience. I had a great life, right? It was so fun. I'd like to roll back. But I doubt any of us would rewind all the way to a baby, because the thought of somebody else caring for us and changing our diapers and providing for us and being totally dependent, we would all decline that. I don't want that at all. The God of the universe in selflessness became a baby. The hands that created it all allowed himself to be carried around wherever people wanted him. It's crazy, crazy, crazy how selfless he was. What about his compassion? Do you remember when Jesus Christ got done preaching the Sermon on the Mount? Do you remember exactly what the very next thing that happened was? The Bible says as he's coming down, a guy with leprosy goes running up to him. And people with leprosy were not supposed to do that. You remember, it was a contagious disease, and they were supposed to say, unclean, unclean, and stay on the other side. And he comes running up to Jesus, and he says, if thou willst, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says, reached out and did the unthinkable. What did he do? Do you remember? The Bible says he touched him. And years ago, when I was reading that scripture, the Lord said to me, why did I touch him? And I remember saying, well, Jesus, you touched him to heal him. But do you remember who this Jesus is? This Jesus is let there be light, Jesus. And light, by the way, no moon, no stars, no sun yet. Let there be light. And light said, yes, sir, where do you want me to stand? This is peace be still, Jesus. And a raging storm said, yes, sir, and calm down immediately. This is Lazarus come forth, Jesus, and a dead and death released him and said, yes, sir, and he come forth from this grave. And in the very same chapter, the Bible says Jesus healed a man who was not even in his presence. Healed an individual who was not even in his presence. Jesus did not need him to touch him. Do you know why he touched him? He touched him to show compassion. Because from the moment that guy got leprosy, he told everybody who cared about him, don't touch me. He told his children, he told his wife, he told his parents, he told everybody who cared for him, do not touch me, I am bad for you. Have you ever just craved for your spouse's touch? Have you ever craved for your mama's touch? Have you ever craved for a child's touch? One of the things I do for the kids that are part of where I work is I always teach the younger ones that three squeezes means I love you. And so a lot of times when I pull into Kemp Elementary School and they're piling out of the van, a lot of them will run forward and give me three squeezes. And Zoe, who's a little bit of a, Jalen is the spice of life, no doubt about it. But Zoe, who's got some spice herself, she would always squeeze my hand back five times. And I said to her, what does that mean? And she said, it means I love you so much, right? And one day last week, I was getting ready and I was pulling out of the, dropping off the kids. I was getting ready to pull out. And Zoe had jumped out of the van and had not given me my three squeezes. But I started to pull off, and I saw her run in front of the van, not like dead in front, but in front on the sidewalk where she could get. And she looked up at the van, and she literally went. And I thought to myself, do you want a car? What do you want? What can I do for you, right? We love a touch, right? And this man had not had a touch for months or weeks. We don't know. And Jesus Christ touched him. So compassionate, right? If you look at the life of Jesus Christ, you cannot find, I challenge you, prove me wrong, find anything in that story where he is not absolutely extraordinary. And his teachings are so extraordinary. That golden rule that we know, do unto others as we'd have them do unto us, right? Who taught us that? Did you catch that? Who taught us that? Who taught us that? The Lord Jesus taught us that. Do you remember the teaching that says when you pray, you're supposed to go into your closet and pray in secret? Do you know why that is? Because deep down in my heart, if I'm being honest today, I want Brother Clayton to think well of me. I want the people in this congregation to think well of me. And sometimes I can get in front of a church and I begin to pray and my mind can drift to what are people thinking. But when you go in your closet all by yourself, all of that is gone. And it's just an audience between you and Almighty God. And there's no pretense about who I am. And I know exactly who he is. And can I ask you in this place today, is there anybody who's found treasure in your closet with the Lord? Is there anybody who's found guidance and direction when it's just you and him alone? Oh, you can do that. And Jesus Christ gave us some great, great, extraordinary teachings. In John chapter 8, verse number 30, if you'll go with me, it's familiar, but the Lord told us to go to this cul-de-sac, so jump in there with me. The Bible says in verse number 30, if I could find it here, as he spoke these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I want you to notice who he is speaking to. The Bible makes clear that he had been teaching, and there were some Jews who believed on him. That was wonderful, because many Jews do not believe on him, right? But he spoke to the believing Jews and said, there is a pathway to freedom, but the very first word is, young people, you got to hear this, the very first word is if. If means maybe you will, maybe you won't. Maybe you will what? Maybe you'll be free, maybe you won't. And in America, we'd go, hey, wait a second, because we are the land of the free and the home of the brave. And while we can thank God that we don't have a nation or other men exercising dominion over us, thank God, God has protected us from that. Jesus spoke of a freedom that was deeper than even that, and a freedom that even slaves could experience. Ask Daniel, ask Shadrach, ask Nehemiah, all of them slaves and had such great freedom. Jesus spoke of a deep and profound freedom. And if I were to ask you today, how many of you want to be free? I bet I could get 100% on that. We don't want to be bound. What does freedom mean? What is free? I'll be honest with you. Sometimes there are words that are difficult to describe. It's easier to say what freedom is not. Freedom is not bound. Freedom is unhindered, right? Freedom does not have constraints on it. That's what we think of when we think of freedom. It's kind of like pretty. Have you heard the word pretty? Describe for me pretty. Pretty is one of those words that you know what it means when you see it, but you can't describe it, right? But you know it when you see it. And freedom is just like that. And if you are being honest today, could we get honest for just a couple of minutes? You know that living in this country, the land of the free, the home of the brave, there is a lot that seeks to entangle you. There is a lot that seeks to enslave you. That thief, the Bible says, Jesus Christ said, came to steal and to kill and destroy. Let me give you an example that the adults can certainly relate to. The Bible forbids usury. Do you know what that word means? Usury means high interest. The Bible said to the Jewish people, you are absolutely not to exercise usury over other Jews. You know why? Because Jesus Christ did not want those people to be victim of that. He loved them, and he didn't want to be the victim of high interest. But how many people in this world, they get tangled up in that buy now, pay later? I saw on the news this week that you can now finance DoorDash. You can make 4 payments to DoorDash, right? And how many people say, you know what? I'm going to do it even though high interest is something God has forbidden. Let me ask you a question. Ask anybody who's ever saddled themselves to that. Am I wrong that it doesn't take a little more of you than you have of it? and it owns some property in your life and hangs over you as you begin to pay that, if you walked onto a car dealership and you said it's $5,000, but you can pay $8,000 if you want, you'd never do that. But we do that over and over and over again. And listen to what I'm saying to you. Those who obey the principle, I will not, if I can't afford it now, I'm just not going to have it. I'm not going to exercise that in my life. I'm not going to have a high interest in my life. You know what's crazy? They never experienced the slavery of that sin. They never experienced it. That never has anything over them. And the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. That's preaching. That's truth, right? And so it's true. They are free. Young people, you live in the most sensually driven nation and sensually driven time in the history of the world. The things that you see on TV when I was a child would never have been permitted to be on TV. The things you see on commercials would not have been permitted on the television back in my day. I just tell you the truth about that. And I could remind you all the things that we know that during the Brady Bunch, they wouldn't even let them be divorced. They had to be widowed. I Love Lucy, they couldn't even have two beds. Father Knows Best, they wouldn't even show a toilet, right? And these were lost people. These were not saved people, but had these morals. But now you see all this, and yet, what does the Bible say? What is the principle the Bible says for sensual sin? Repeatedly, you are told to flee. Repeatedly, you're told to run. Flee fornication. If Jesus tells you to run from it, get up and run. You know why? Because I'm telling you, he doesn't tell you to run from nothing. The Bible says, if you face the devil, resist him and he'll flee from you. The Bible says, Jesus taught us, if somebody hits you on your right cheek, turn to him your left. But where it comes to that sin, run. Run, 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 run. And here's why I'm so passionate about that. Because more than once, more than twice, the best kid in our youth group, honest to God, the sharpest, the best kid in our youth group has come to me and said to me, Uncle B, it's got me. Uncle Brian, it's got me. What's got you? I looked at something I wasn't supposed to look at, and now it has more control of me than I have of it, and it is drawing me. And I personally know of a pornography-driven divorce where that child of that family, every other weekend with the dad, he gave up a whole lot so that he could look at those things. Don't be enslaved. What if we tell a lie, right? When we step outside the boundaries and we just tell a lie, now we got to remember the lie that we told, and we got to tell it over and over and over again. And though we are free in America, please understand, Jesus Christ did not want you to be bound by any of those things. He said there's a pathway that you can experience great personal freedom. You know what he said it was? Continue in my word. If you do this one thing, you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and that truth will what? Set you free. What does continue mean? That word actually means to dwell there, but let me give you very quickly an example where Jesus Christ taught us something. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So when he was teaching us the importance of the Word of God in our life, he was saying it needs to be a regular part of our lives. How often do you eat? Every day. How often should you read your Bible? Every single day. I'm not being legalistic when I say to you, if you don't read your Bible every day, you should not expect much freedom, according to Jesus. If you don't read your Bible every day, there's going to be some things that entangle you, because you're not going to know the truth to be able to defend yourself. And we need to be reminded of it. It's a big, important part. Here's how God worked that into my life. Everyday Bible reading was not an everyday part of my life, even after I joined the ministry. I was in full-time ministry at Calvary Children's Home and was not reading my Bible every day. And one day I picked up my newspaper and I started reading it. And God said to me, clear as I'm saying to you in my heart, not out loud, are you really going to read that first? That's what he said to me. Are you really going to read that first? And I remember thinking, no, Lord, I'm just looking at the pictures, right? I don't know, right? But you know what? When he said that, you know what it immediately made me understand? It is outrageous to God that somebody in the ministry would not pick up their Bible first. Does that make sense to you? It is outrageous to God that somebody in the ministry would not pick up their Bible first and read it every single day. And because I love to read, you know what that forced me to do? Before I read anything, I always read my Bible first, and it has greatly helped my life. CJ went to Bible college, and I've heard this from every kid that went down to Trinity, right? Dr. Cash, Krista Rich also came from down there, and others, Jennifer McMurray went down there. But anyway, Dr. Cash had this famous saying. He'd have the seminary boys in the room, and he'd always ask them, did you read your Bible today? And if they dared, said no, what did they holler, CJ?
Did you read?
did you eat? Like he couldn't fathom. He didn't know I was going to tell him that either. He couldn't fathom that boys that were going to lead churches would eat food before they read the Word of God. It was so critical and so important that they had to have it in their life. If you leave church today and you say, I need to start reading my Bible every day, you have done the single greatest thing that you can do towards freedom in your life. Because you know what Jesus said? You can read the Word of God. If you continue in my Word, you will know the truth. You know why you need to know truth? I got to be quick. Because you live in a world full of lying voices. I mean, you live in a world full of lying voices. More lies are being told now than ever before. Some of the ones that are so easy to illustrate, you live in a world that now tells you a boy can become a girl, right? Or a girl can become a boy. But the Bible says God fearfully and wonderfully made you. And the Bible says he made no mistakes. He, even in the life of the blind and the lame, the Bible says God said, I made them. He did not make mistakes. You're wonderfully made just the way you are. And the Bible says God made them male and female. And let me tell you something. If you're a boy, every cell in your body has the Y chromosome in it. You got boy toes, a boy liver, a boy heart. It's all a boy. It doesn't matter what you cut on, tie off, ingest. You cannot become the other gender. And if you could become the, even if you did all those things and they dig you up 1,000 years from now, they're going to know you were a boy. God made you that way. And if I were an enemy to you, you know what I'd try to convince you? That you can become something you cannot become. And the danger of that thinking is that if I say, well, I can be a girl, right? I can be a girl even though God made me a boy. The danger of that is if I can just begin to identify as something I am not, how come that won't work in other scenarios, right? How come a 40-year-old man can't identify as a 16-year-old and date your teenage daughter? How come they can't, right? If we can just choose who we are, it doesn't work. It's slippery. When we step away from God's way, we get in dangerous ground. And what I teach all the kids in our youth ministry is if you come across a young person who is living a trans life or is living that way, you need to treat them with the compassion of an individual who's been duped by the enemy of their soul. You need to love them and give them compassion, but don't give one inch of your mind to believe that what they're saying is true. And you could go on those things where we now have people who say, I am homosexual. It's the way that I am, even though the Bible says contrary to that. The problem with that is, what if I say, I am bank robber? I am bank robber. Or I am what they're saying now in some colleges, I am minor attracted person. That's a slippery slope. You don't want to go down that road. You better operate. When a young person says to me, I am gay, I say, no, that's not true. You participate in the sin of homosexuality. That's the reality of the situation. You are not gay. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And if you would step away from that, you would find freedom and help. It's true. Lying voices. You know what else you got? You got lying images. This is the first generation that from this day forward, we're never going to know what's real in pictures that we're looking at, are we? I mean, AI can change anything that you're looking at. We are never going to know if what we're looking at is real. But you know what's great? You weren't told you had to believe lying voices. You weren't told you had to believe images that are on the TV. You were told you could anchor yourself to the Word of God, which is true and which will lead you and guide you and never lead you down the wrong path. Jesus said, if you continue my word, then you'll know the truth. This is what's real and this is true and it is good for you. And what is the connection between truth and freedom? What is the connection? It's so important that you anchor this to your heart. Here's on my day one of getting hired at Calvary Children's Home. I'm 22 years old, 23 maybe, I don't know. I walk into the office and Snyder Turner says to me, I got three things that are going to be bedrock in your life. You better honor these things. And the first thing he said to me is pretty elementary, but it's significant. He said, if you want to make it in ministry, you better not ever mess with another man's money or another man's woman. You understand me? Those things will kill ministry. They'll destroy ministry. You better be upright in those two areas. And you think, well, that's pretty simple, but how many ministries do you know that got jacked up because somebody didn't honor those truths out of the Word of God, right? It's super, super important, right? So then, number two, he said, children will always behave themselves according to what they believe to be true, not what is true, right? They will always behave according to what they believe is true. And you guys know this is true. I love to tell a couple stories out of CJ's life. He's a deacon in our church and he's preaching tonight. But when he grew up in the children's home, that dude was a handful. I'm talking about full handful. And one day, CJ and his roommate had snuck food into their room. And I remember the consequence was he couldn't shut the door. And I went down there. I was 12 years old at the time. And at the children's home, we have these exit lights, red exit lights. I don't see any of them. But in the downstairs, when all the lights are out, it's kind of cast that eerie red glow. And CJ had his door open. And he and his roommate were talking about something. Do you remember this night, son? Do you remember? And literally, they were talking about a girl that they had both seen. They're 12 years old, remember? And they were arguing back and forth over who could get a date with her first. And I'm thinking, are you going to take her out on your Huffy? I don't know, right? And then one of them said, I bet her hair smells good. And I remember thinking, these are warped children, right? But for some reason, I decided I would spook him. And I laid on my stomach and I went creeping into his bedroom. And right when I got beside CJ's bed in the pitch black dark, CJ went, oh, and his hand fell right in front of my face. And when he did, I just instinctively grabbed it. Didn't say anything, just grabbed it. And let me tell you something. We behave according to what we believe to be true. CJ believed the boogeyman had found him. And he stood straight up in his bed, did not say a word, but just started screaming like a woman. Just, whoa! And because he wasn't saying a word, his roommate was petrified too. And he was over there going, what, man? What, man? Out of nowhere. And I was laughing so hard, I wasn't making a noise. It was spectacular. We behave according to what we believe to be true. The guys who blew up the World Trade Center, you know what's crazy? Look at their black box recording when they're going into that thing. And when they went down in Pennsylvania, do you know what they're saying? Hail Allah. Allah is great. Allah is great. Allah is great. And then they plunge that plane into a building and an enormous fireball blows up. Do you know why they were saying that? They believed they would be rewarded for doing that act of killing the infidel, right? They believe that. Is there anybody in here who believes they were rewarded? Anybody? They went from one fiery place to another fiery place, said King Jesus, right? It's true. We behave. When Eve was in the garden, you know what they was crazy? They lived in an environment that men dream of for their spouse, a tropical environment with no boundaries and no rules, just that one rule, don't eat out of that tree. And when Satan went to her to get her to break God's command, he didn't grab her by the neck and say, eat it. He didn't do that. He didn't say to her, oh, this is the best fruit ever. I made a pie out of it. You got to have it. You know why? Harris, because she would have said, yeah, but if we eat it, we'll die. It's not worth it. You know what he did? He didn't attack her physically. He attacked what she believed to be true. And he said, hath God said? Dangerous doors hang on those hinges, friend. Dangerous doors hang on those hinges. Hath God said? And he went on to say, you will not die, a blatant lie. And then he mixed in some truth. You'll become like God, knowing good and evil. And so she ate that tree, stepped outside of God's plan for her life. Let me ask you a question. Did she find freedom? No. You know what's crazy? She actually found bondage. The Bible says she became a sinner. Listen to what I'm about to say to you. If Adam and Eve had honored God's one rule and kept their descendants from eating out of that tree, they would still be alive today. They would never have known a day of sorrow or hurt or pain. They would never have. But they stepped out thinking they could find freedom outside of God's boundary, and instead they had bondage. You know what's crazy? You know what was crazy? They actually had freedom. They were actually the freest people in the history of mankind. They only had one boundary. And something that's important for you to understand today, that real freedom for your soul can only be found living inside the loving boundaries that God has placed in your life, right? Inside God's loving backyard, there is so much freedom. I grew up in a family where everybody's divorced. My parents are divorced. My mom's been divorced 4 times. All of my siblings are divorced. But you know what I decided 25 years ago? I said, you know what? I'm gonna marry that girl that I love, and I'm going to try things God's way, right? And I'm only going to have eyes for her. And to this day, even when I was a young person, a commercial would come on TV, I avert my eyes, right? I don't do that kind of thing. I'm going to love her, and I'm going to forgive her. And 1,000 times I've said, you know what? I'm going to love her. And when we get sideways, I always say, can we have a do-over? Can we just start all over again? And do you know what I have experienced in my life 25 years later? She's a haven to me. She's a great blessing in my life. Honest to God, fellas, let me say this to you guys. You know where my favorite place to be is? So help me God, I'm not exaggerating. My favorite place to be is anywhere she's at. I'm dead serious. 25 years later, there's freedom inside the loving boundaries. There just is. You don't find freedom outside that. You find it inside. I remember when God started telling me to give to the poor. Honest before God, I'm telling you the truth. When God started telling me to give to the poor, I said to God, God, but I am the poor, right? What do you mean I got to give to the poor? I am the poor, right? But started doing that. And you know what? We're 8 years into that. And Melita will tell you, we went from that. We didn't even know how greedy we were. We didn't even know how greedy we were, right? Somebody used to walk up to me and say, hey, I got a need. And I'd be like, oh, I don't know. But 8 years of obeying God and monthly doing what God instructed me to, giving to the poor, has brought great freedom in our life. And God is my witness. I'm going to tell you something crazy today. God is my witness. In all of those years, no matter what we have done, it has increased year by year by year over the years. It started out like about a car payment, right? $250, $300 right back then in those days. And I remember there never before that time had I ever gotten a gift like what I'm about to describe for you. Never before. But since that time, in all 8 or 9 years I've been doing that, every single year at one point in time or another, somebody has walked up to me or in a church and handed me more than I gave to the poor in all that year. I'm not kidding. I'll tell you a cool story. So this year, I don't know, I won't tell you how much it is, but the Lord caused us to increase it to a different number. And I went and preached at Belmont Baptist Church on the 16th, I think, right? And Belmont Baptist Church is a generous church. Sometimes they pay me $500. A lot of times when I preach on the road, it's nothing. The previous weekend, just for a retrospect, I preached a Saturday and Sunday. I got paid $75. I got paid $100. But Valentine's Day was in the middle. And me and Melita, we grew up, you know, it's tough on money, so we like that kind of thing. And I said to Melita, hey, you know what? For Valentine's Day, I give you a choice, right? I said, you can either get $200 or a surprise or half of whatever Belmont Baptist pays me, right? And she's a gambling kind of girl. She said, all right, I'll take half of what Belmont Baptist Church pays you. I'm not kidding you. I went down and I preached in that church that day. Normal day, they've given me $500-$600. That day they said, let's take up a love offering. Would you like to guess what that church paid me on February 16th to preach at the church? $6,000, right? And would you like to guess what the Lord told me to give to the poor this year? $6,000. I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. You find freedom doing things God's way. You find freedom doing things God's way. We were driving down the road, and he was going, open it, open it, open it. I'm not open it. When I opened it, I was like, doggone, you know, unbelievable. But follow what I'm saying to you, find freedom. The Lord told me to tell this one more story, so I'll tell it to you, right? We had a kid at the children's home. His situation was so tough. I mean, if he were living, he would be 34 or 35 years old today. Grew up in CJ's area. His name was Bobby. His mother was a prostitute, and she killed herself in a Louisiana prison. His dad was a 75-year-old client of hers and wasn't much help either. His mom was one of those tough people. She used to stick a shotgun to his head. Real tough thing, try to get him to comply. And I tried with all my heart to say to that little boy, I'm telling you, I know it sounds crazy, but you can find freedom doing things God's way. I know it sounds crazy. Look what you've experienced all before has been way outside the boundaries of God. You could try things God's way, and you could, but he had so much pain and anger in his life, and he was so very difficult, and he always thought he could sneak off or run off or do different things. And one day when he's about 13 years old, though, he was so smart and so gifted, he lost control of himself, and he did some damage to some property, and he punched me in the face, just reared back and punched me right in the face. And I said, Bobby, man, you got to get your life. Your life is going to be out of control. And I remember when I began to convey that to the administration, they began to say, well, that kid's not really safe for our female staff, and he's not safe for the other kids, and we're going to have to discharge him. And I fought heartily against that, but that child was discharged. And about a year after he was discharged, maybe 9 months, he was placed at Devereaux. It's that facility off of Barrett Parkway near Mount Perrin Christian School. And I went over to see him, and I picked him up. And that day, they actually let me get him off campus. And I was driving him off campus, and he looked over at me, and he said this to me. He said, Uncle Brian, do you know that song that says, don't it always seem to go? You don't know what you got till it's gone. You paved paradise. You put up a parking lot. This is a 15-year-old kid. He said, I paved paradise, Uncle B, and I put up a parking lot. And I remember saying to Bobby, we've got to start trying things God's way. We got to work on things God's way. I hear you, Uncle B. I don't know. How could God, if he let all this happen in my life, I'm just telling you, Bobby, there's freedom inside God's path. He used to call me when he was 17 years old. I'm so cold, Uncle B. He'd be sleeping on the streets over in Marietta. I'd run him a blanket over there, some food. I'm so hungry, Uncle B. I'd go run him something over there. Just a broken life. He was in one of those facilities by then that you only had to check in every 3 days, and that was so bad for him. And then one day he called me up. He said, Uncle B, I need $7,000. I said, Bobby, what have you done? He said, I got so hungry. I went in somebody's house and took something I shouldn't have taken. I said, oh, Bobby, off to prison. In prison, he would write me. You know what he would write me? I saved his letter for a long time. It's one of the saddest things. He said, Uncle B, it's so dark in here. You got any pictures from my childhood? And if not, could you just send me some pictures, right? He didn't do that. And when he was about 30 years old, he killed himself, right? And he found brokenness and all of these things. There's, let me tell you something. At the very same time, C.J. Martin was growing up at Calvary Children's Home. And though he's not perfect by any stretch, he tried some things God's way. And can I tell you something about C.J. Martin? There's no family in his family like his. There's not. Not several generations over him. Not generations around him. There's one family that's got some freedom in it. There's one family that's got some good things in it. You know why? Trying things God's way. He'll preach tonight. I'm telling you, freedom is found inside the loving boundaries that God has placed in your life. You could get that freedom and understand that freedom if you read the Bible. This book is alive. It's alive. Do you remember how I told those stories at the beginning of this thing? You know why? Because I reflected on those stories of how Jesus healed people, and it came to life to me. For 20 straight years, I have preached the Christmas story here at this church. And every year I say to God, God, show me something different. It's only two chapters in the Bible. Show me something different. And for 20 years, something new, something different. It's alive. Jesus said, if maybe you will, maybe you won't, but you could be free if you tried things Jesus' way. Would you rise to your feet as the musicians come? Miss Yvonne Nettles is asking if she could say something. Yeah, amen. She said, if anybody's in this church today is looking for true love, come to Jesus. He'll show you what it is. Thank you, Miss Yvonne. Let's pray. And if the Lord's spoken to your heart, would you come? Hey, would you be willing to, at your young age, make a commitment? I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to open that thing up every day, a chapter a day. If you read three chapters a day, you could read it in a year. If you read one chapter a day, you can read it in 3 years. It's so important. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. God, we love you today, and we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for these kids who've sung and pointed our hearts to you. We thank you for the truths out of your word that are life-changing and freedom-giving. And God, you want to give freedom. You said that you have come to give life and give it more abundantly, Lord. And we trust in you for that, and we've seen that in our lives. And I ask you in Jesus' name to help us to walk in that. God, I pray if there's somebody in this place today that you have pricked their heart to take a step closer to you, that they'd be willing to do that. I pray if there's a young person today that can look at their life and see that they've already lost some land, can look at their life and say they've already given up some territory, I pray, God, that they'd be willing to come, God. Take back what the enemy stole from them. God, get all the help that you can get. Breathe hope into their situation, God. Real freedom is found in walking in your ways, God. I pray that you'd help us to do that. If there's somebody here who's not saved, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name you draw them. Give guidance to our pastor as he takes over this invitation. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen. The Lord's spoken to your heart. Altar's open. Giving up some ground?
Something about coming down forward, down front, after God's word is preached and presented. The Lord is moving this morning. Continuing to sing while these pray, you consider coming if you need to this morning. Somebody will meet with you and pray with you. If you're open, you can even share what your burden is. But it does not leave this altar. Do you know that you know that you know that when you die, heaven will be your home? If you say, yes, I know that, well, then I want to ask you this question. What are you basing that confidence on? Some might say, well, I work hard every day. You know, I'm a faithful spouse, a great dad, mom, great mom. That's not the basis for salvation, goodness. The Bible says there's no good thing. Paul says no good thing dwells in us. And in another place it says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. The only way to go to heaven is by trusting in the finished work of Christ. Someone can guide you this morning. If you need to do business with the Lord concerning salvation. Playing softly while these are still praying, giving the Lord time to work. Your invitation time. Are you repented up to date? Something I have to ask myself every day. Repented up to date. What a beautiful service. I'll just say a few things as Brother Randy is playing and while these are praying. Thank you, Brother Brown, for that message, man. Every time, brother, every time you bring it home for us. And we appreciate you so much, you and Miss Melita. We appreciate you, Miss Melita, and her baking. Thank you, young people, Calvary's young people. Thank you for boldly proclaiming the name of Jesus and standing up here and looking at everyone, different social media platforms, live on the internet, and singing about Jesus. And great job this morning, Alex, with the announcements. That was awesome. And orchestra, God bless you. Y'all are amazing. Y'all are awesome. I love all those instruments. Let's give a round of applause. I have to ask, what's the big one? The big one that was over here, the big instrument. Is that you?
It's the bass.
The bass. For some reason, I want to grab that thing like a guitar. Awesome job, man, with the bass. I love it. You know, all the other instruments, y'all did an amazing job. That was just so awesome. So awesome. Thank you so very much for coming. And we were supposed to have a baptism. I want to mention this and then we'll dismiss. We're supposed to have a baptism service this morning. But we postponed that due to we had some kind of leak or crack. Well, I think it's a leak with the piping in the baptistry. It was prepared. A lot of time was spent on it. Thank you, Brother David Henderson. And it was filled up. So thank you, Larry Bennett, if you're listening or watching this morning, for coming by last night and double-checking, because that's when the leak was found and it made a mess in the kitchen. And I believe Ashton was here last night as well, helping clean that up. Brother Jeff, thank you. And I got that phone call last night, and it was really something. We really wanted to have baptism, but at the same time, you know, it was something that it leaked like that. So we want to repair that. But Eli was the one that was going to get baptized this morning. But thank you, Brother Eli, for understanding. and we're going to work it out. We've got several others from the home that's to be baptized soon. We're waiting on some family members to get well so they can attend on that. So we'll just have a big baptism. And but anyway, so just remember that. Remember the service tonight. 5 o'clock is service time. Brother CJ will be preaching, so you come prepared to hear him. I know he has something to deliver to us. Looking forward to that. All right. Thank you, visitors, for coming. And all hearts clear before we go. Anything to mention? Got it clear. All right. We'll be dismissed. Father God, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for such a sweet, godly service. And Lord, I pray for our young people. Like Brother B said while he was preaching, that, wow, they're going through a time in our world where the technology, the easiness to tap into the dark web and the web in general and all of the things that they're up against, social media, it's there each and every day. They have to decide. I pray that our young people, Lord, would just choose to follow you, stay in your word. But not just our young people, but all of us that are left, us as well, the older people. And Father, help us to just stay in your word and draw life from you. Help us be that example that we need to be. Thank you so much for the message, the messenger, and all the music this morning. Be with us, keep us safe, bring us back safely tonight. In Jesus' name we do pray, with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. All right, you're dismissed.